Marvel Universe with your hosts Dawn and Ashley, and today we are going to be rating and discussing Crave by Tracy Wolf. And first we are going to do a cold open, which is we're going to be countdowning our hottest YA male leads. I'm going to do five. Ashley's going to do five. And I think it's perfect because the main character in Crave is a vampire, and vampires, we all know, are inherently sexy. And so we are waiting for Ashley to call in. We are doing this live, and Ashley is here, and I'm going to connect her in a second. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm freezing, man. Why can't we get some warm weather here?
I know.
It's like spring may have happened, but I feel like she has a cold, so whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. How's it going on your side? You know.
Good. The same.
The same old, just reading because we got nothing else to do.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Oh, man. Okay. So, do you have your list?
Yes. I am. Do you want to say what our criteria was?
Yeah. So, we are doing another cold open because we really enjoyed how the last one went. So, today we are going to be ranking our top five sexiest YA male characters. And so Dawn and I each have our own individual list. So for me, I deemed a man sexy when he lets his love interest basically be their own person and really stands by their side. That's something that's important to me emotionally. So that's where I deemed how sexy they were. Dawn, what was your criteria on for your list?
This one was kind of hard for me because it was difficult for me to choose between a well-written male lead versus a sexy male lead. And it wasn't always the same. So there were a couple of characters that I couldn't include on my list. For example, Gansey from The Raven Boys. I love Gansey. He's one of my favorite characters of all time. Also, Kaz from Six of Crows. I love him. But I don't consider them sexy. I think they were too damaged to be sexy. So, okay. Yeah. So this was kind of tough for me. But what I was looking for was like confidence and empathetic. So, and hopefully my list reflects those two things.
All right. Well, all right. In my number fifth spot, I put Kaz from Six of Crows.
Okay.
So I did add him to my list.
Okay.
But for, you know, as you said, he is a little damaged. Just a touch, you know, so he is on there. But, yeah, he's in my fifth spot.
You want to say why?
Just because, like, I really enjoyed him as a male character, but at the same time, like, they're the ones that I have in my fourth and up spots. I feel like I have a crush on them as well. And, like, Kaz, I didn't have, like, a major crush on in the book to, like, keep reading for him, but he was still sexy, in my opinion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that you said you had a crush on him, and mm-hmm. I would agree. There were a couple characters that I had a crush on. He was definitely one of them. And another one I'll add is Darlington from Ninth House. But it was really, I don't know, but they lacked confidence. And it kind of like killed the sexy factor for me. So that's why I didn't have them on my list. But my number five spot is going to be odd. By the way, Ashley and I have not seen each other's lists. We are going to be just a shock. Yeah, we're going to be just as shocked as you are. So my number five, this was tough for me to try and find a number five. It was Dorian from Throne of Glass. And I'll say why. Okay. Because he isn't necessarily confident and he isn't necessarily empathetic. So what made me put him on my list is because in the first book, Dorian is a mega douche. He is very confident. He's a womanizer. You know, he's just living his life, being the crown prince and all. And then, you know, hopefully you've read the book. If you haven't read these books by now, that's your problem. So his girlfriend is murdered brutally. And then he goes through this depression. He has major daddy issues. None of that is sexy. He becomes a major bitch in like the fourth book or fifth book, I want to say, when he's on the ship with them. Like, but then he redeems himself in the last book by like saving the world. You know what I mean? So it's like he has this major character arc, which I deemed to be quite sexy. And he's always been one of my favorite characters in the whole series. So I think he has one of the best character arcs in the whole series. So, yeah.
Heyo. Yeah, so my number four in this list is actually Dorian for the same reason. Yeah, cool. So. Which I'm surprised you didn't have Kaz on your list. I was like, come on, Don.
I know. Don
it hurt my feelings. That's like her baby. Dorian is like my baby. So I'm a little shocked. Just a little bit. Yeah, so I mean, for Dorian, yet again, he just the whole daddy issue thing, that like irks me, because I'm like, are you an adult or are you not? I don't think you're an adult. So that just is like and I don't go for that whole like brooding confident male persona. Yeah, that's not my thing.
Okay.
He was like overly confident and I'm like so yeah, that's why he's my number four.
Mm-hmm. All right, so most of the men on my list are quite confident, so I'm gonna be curious. I think one of the people I have on my list might be your number one. I'm curious to see where he lands. My number four is the Darkling from Shadow and Bone, not from King of Scars, so I just want to make that quite clear. I know the Darkling is not supposed to be likable. He's murdered thousands of people, but I did not like Mal at all. Mal was milquetoast, and I thought the Darkling was much more interesting and mysterious and just all over sexy. And I'm curious to see how the person who plays him in the movie is going. I hope they do him justice, because I think a lot of people love the Darkling and they probably weren't supposed to. I don't think she intended on him to be a sexy character. So I don't know. I like the Darkling. He was confident. He was like, hey, I kill people. So what? You know? Hey.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, come to mama. Okay. So for my number three, I put Wraith from the Kiss of Deception series. Okay. Just because I really, 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 really enjoy him as a male character. I love the fact that like he basically disguises himself to find his future bride that he's betrothed to, and like they end up falling in love with each other, not knowing who the other person is. So yeah, I really, really did like that a lot.
I struggled with him too, because I love Kiss of Deception. I kind of looked at my favorite books of all time to find my characters for my list, and Kiss of Deception is one of my favorites of all time, but I unfortunately did not find Wraith sexy enough to make my list. Okay, so my number three is Rhys from Akotar. I only read the first two books, so I'm only basing this on the first two, but I particularly liked him in the first book, because once again he was mysterious, he was kind of mean to her but also sexy at the same time, and I hated Tamlin. I'm like, oh god, get this guy out of here, where's Rhys, come on back. And I knew, hopefully you guys have read Akotar, but I kind of knew how it was going to be set up. And the only reason why I wanted to read book two is because I knew Rhys was going to be in it and I knew Tamlin probably wasn't. And I was like, okay, I'm all for Rhys. So I really like Rhys a lot. Not enough to continue the series just because it got a little convoluted for me, but I really would have continued the series just for him, actually.
As would many of his followers. So he was your number three, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So for my number one and two spot, I really struggle because they are both Moss characters, because that's like my favorite series in the whole entire world, hence why I read it quite often. that's like my constant gym book. Don always makes fun of me. Like, how do you read it over and over again? Anyway, so this particular battle of one and two is between her two different series. So I ended up putting Rhysand at number two because he is amazing. He has this whole concept of, like, he's never been good enough and he never wants any of his loved ones to suffer. So he takes it on himself to save everyone. And it's like he never had this moment of, like, ever feeling like he was enough until he meets Feyre. So it's like where they both kind of come together in learning how to love each other and to love themselves in a way, because they never, like, both of them struggle with that, correct? Like, their whole sense of where they are in this world and, like, the fact that they are important and it doesn't matter how powerful they are. Like, there are people who love and care about you. Like, your darkness isn't scary. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, all of your things in your closet. So for me, he was my number two.
Okay. I know who your number one is now.
Of course you know. Yeah. I mean, you have to know based on that.
Yeah. Okay. So my number two is Will Herondale from the Infernal Devices.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I think a large part of that is that I listened to the audiobook and the narrator is damn. He's got a very deep British accent. So he did him justice. I like Will. I'm team Will. I'm not team Jem. I like Will because he's troubled and he really loves Tess. I can't remember her name. And he really tries to push her away because he's got this curse on him or whatever, if I recall correctly. But at the same time, you know, he loves her and he's just, I don't know, he doesn't have confidence too much. So, but he's very empathetic and he cares about people and his voice was great in the audiobook. And I don't know, I just really liked Will Herondale as a character and as like a really hot male lead. So.
All right, we know what gets you, Don. Nice, good British accent. That's great. Oh, man. Okay. Let's see. My number one is Rowan from the Throne of Glass series. That's part of the reason why, like, I had an issue with, like, trying to figure out who was my number one and who's my number two. Because both of these male characters are extremely amazing in their own right, but they're not the same guy. Like, it's a completely different character in and of itself. And so Rowan is just as broody and confident and, you know, he's got his own agenda just like his bae Aileen does, you know? So it's like they in and of themselves are perfect for each other because they don't... they don't cripple the other person in trying to reach for their own stars. So I like extremely think that that's important. When I find someone who is sexy, like, I want someone who's going to stand by me, someone who's going to see me through to the end. And like their whole tagline in that book to whatever end is just like, come on, you know, he's basically like selling his life to you. Whatever you want to do, he's there for you no matter what. So that's why he's my number one.
All right.
Let's hear your number one.
My number one is Nikolai from Shadow and Bone, and in particularly King of Scars.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I tend to like characters who are flirty and, like I said, very confident, cheeky, great sense of humor, don't take themselves too seriously. I tend to like that character. And so like Nikolai Thorne from the Cinder series, like, and I can't remember his name from Sorcery of Thorns, the main guy.
Yes. He's so kind of number six.
Yeah. Okay. I had number six too. We'll talk about that in a second. So yeah, all of three of them are kind of similar in that, but confidence is like the number one thing that they have. And I love Nikolai because he has some serious family issues. And then, but in King of Scars, he is just, I'm not going to spoil it because a lot of people haven't read the book, but they are because the show is going to be coming out soon, hopefully, mm-hmm. after all this is over. But he's damaged, and he has this very interesting relationship with Zoya that I really, really like. And just mm-hmm. the way the two of them interact is fantastic. And I mean, I don't know. I just, that's kind of the guy I find sexy, and it's kind of a theme here on my list, if you notice. So mm-hmm. yeah, I love Nikolai. I love that he has his own series. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I am too.
That's my number one.
Yay. I would never have guessed that for you, but it is a Bardugo book. So that also didn't surprise me because you also follow a similar theme as well. You're a Bardugo girl. I'm a math girl. We get along quite well. My number six, actually, I struggled between, so I had picked Nathaniel from Sorcery of Thorns. Nathaniel. Just because, that's his name from, Sorcery of Thorns by Margaret Robinson. I always want a guy that's going to, like, kind of be a little bit more persistent in, like, their love journey. And he was always like, better not. I'm hands off, girls. You know? So it's like he kind of like falls down the lower end of the spectrum for me because it is like a slower building romance. It's not like something that you're like sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for, right?
Yeah.
So
he also wasn't on the page enough for me.
Yeah.
Which I hated. He was
because I really liked him.
Yeah. He was the best character in that book and he was barely on the page. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I didn't like the book as much. Mm-hmm. But I actually had a number six, and I chose Evan from The Fifth Wave.
Ooh.
I remember I'm a teen librarian, and we read this book a long time ago, even before the movie came out, for our teen book club. And we had like 10 kids in our book club, like 9 girls and 1 boy. And we read this book, and there is a line or a scene in the book where Evan and Cassie are like, I want to say they're making out. And then it says something about he opened her up like a flower or something like that. And my teen girls was like, Miss Dine, what does that mean? And I was like, I'm not going to answer that question. I just always remember that part. I just remember Evan being like, really just like, yeah, he was great. Oh. That was my number six.
I also had like a couple people in my lineup were Patch from the Hush Hush series. Do you remember that series?
I didn't read that one.
Becca Fitzpatrick, so it's another paranormal like romance type of style book, which Ashley really enjoys. So he was on there, but you know, just did not make the cut. I had Jace from the Immortal Instruments on there, and Four from Divergent, but I was upset with that series, so he didn't make it on there, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I had on mine.
Yeah, I think oh my gosh, you'd be so proud of me. I had, like, I think, like, 12 people I was, like, deciding between.
Oh, wow.
With variety. Okay. Would you like to read the synopsis of the book that we are going to be discussing today? Which this is going to be fun.
Oh, boy. Okay. So I'm reading from the back of the book. All right.
Yeah.
So this is, we're going to now start reviewing Crave from Tracy Wolf. This is the spoiler-free edition, and then we will go into the spoiler edition. All right. My whole world changed when I stepped into the academy. Nothing is right about this place or the other students in it. Here I am, a mere mortal among gods or monsters. I still cannot decide which of these warring factions I belong to, if I belong at all. I only know the one thing that unties them is their hatred of me. Then there's Jackson Vega, a vampire with deadly secrets who hasn't felt anything for 100 years. But there's something about him that calls to me, something broken in him and somehow fits with what's broken in me, which could spell death for us all. Because Jackson walled himself off for a reason, and now someone wants to wake a sleeping monster, and I'm wondering if I was brought here intentionally or as the bait. All right.
So, I'm giggling so hard right now.
Why?
Because, okay, so if you guys have not looked at this book yet, it screams some similarities to Twilight so bad that it's like, I totally looked past when you handed me the book at first time. You were like, oh, if you want another vampire series, here you go. And so I'm looking at the cover, and I'm just like, huh, that's interesting. I feel like I've seen this before.
Yeah.
So that's the thing I didn't like, number one, because there are some issues with the originality of this book to Stephenie Meyer's Twilight series. Where do you want to start with this interesting novel?
I never remember. Do we say what we gave it, or do we just go into the dislikes and then likes? I never remember how we do this.
Oh, well, I think last time we decided to rate it beforehand.
Okay.
So I'm totally down for that.
Okay.
If you would like.
Sure.
So what'd you rate it?
I gave this a 1.
My
this book was garbage. I hated it. This book. I hated every second of it. Okay. What'd you give it?
So I gave it a 2.5 to okay. 3. I think it's like as I was reviewing it, I was like, I mean, and Goodreads won't let you do 0.5s, which I think is so stupid because that 0.5 really does matter.
Yeah, it does.
But I think, so before I get into the things I didn't like, I had hoped that this book would be, you know, a new vampire saga, right? Like when you get it, it's like, because that whole entire craze of, you know, the Collins and everything like that, like, it was great, right? We both love Twilight, so why not read another vampire series? But that's where the newness stops. It's just, it's an uber fluffy read. So if you're looking for some vampire romance that has huge connotations to another vampire novel, here you go. This will be for you. But however, that's where the excitement has stopped for me. So...
Yeah, so I am a very big publisher snob, meaning I read specific publishers because I kind of know what I'm going to get. And I avoid mm-hmm. certain publishers because I know what I'm going to get. I did not realize this was Entangled Teen, which is basically the Harlequin of the back in the day. It comes in paperback. It's just fluff. There's nothing wrong with fluff. I have mm-hmm. read some fluff. I do have requirements for my fluff, which this didn't have. But honestly, if I hadn't known this was Entangled Teen, I wouldn't have even given this to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even notice that it had like a white flower with blood on it. Like that is like totes.
A totes giveaway. A totes yeah. giveaway as to what you're getting. It looks like one of those spoofs, okay, that people
yeah.
do.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, legitimately, it looks like a freaking spoof. But I think I was so excited. Like I said, I was so excited to read about vampires because I was missing me some good vampire romance in my life. And I'm like, what? Hold on a second. So I think for me, my first, like, thing that I just did not like is that there were so many similarities to Twilight, and it lacked originality. That was my biggest issue with this book, is it lacked originality. There were some good points that could have been done really well, but it's like they just decided to kind of cliff note other books and kind of piecemeal things in there. That's what I felt like happened.
Yeah. Ashley and I are going to kind of like talk about Twilight and why Twilight is better than this, but I agree with you, Romy, right down to the, it's in Alaska. Yep. And Twilight was in Forks, Washington, which is not close, but similar weather.
Still up there.
And the girl in this book is called Grace. She is from San Francisco or San Diego, somewhere sunny in California. Bella is from Phoenix,
Arizona.
Arizona.
Super warm, high many, you know.
She, in the beginning of the book, Jackson and Crave, he saves her, just like Edward does in Twilight. He saves her fairly early on in the book. He's very aloof and standoffish to her, to Grace, and so is Edward. And even at one point, Jackson gives Grace the book Twilight to read.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but nothing ever came of that. Like, she was just like, oh my God, I heard this is great. But she never references it again or anything. Mm-hmm. So, and that's one thing that I did not like what this author did as I'm talking about it. What Tracy Wolf did is she knows her book is full of tropes. And she's just like, let me just tell the reader, hey, this is a trope and I know it, but I'm going to put it in here anyway. That doesn't excuse it. So, for example, we have a Jackson who's a vampire, and then we have Flint, who is another monster. I'm not going to say because it's a spoiler, but clearly he's the quote unquote Jacob in the story. And he's nice to her, just like Jacob is nice to Bella. But she is like, she is drawn to Jackson. And in the book, Grace says to the reader, I don't know why I like the bad boy with Flint. He's so nice to me, but So it's like Tracy Wolf is like acknowledging her tropes to make it okay to put it in her book. And she does this several times. That does not make it okay. It's still a trope and not done very well.
Yes. And I mean, and that was something that I had as my like next thing on here was the whole obvious like love triangle crap. It's like, oh, there's another Jacob and Edward. Oh, and you know, she's drawn to so-and-so because they're more comfortable, but yet she likes this mysterious, cold guy who's just so drawn to her. He was the first one that she laid out. Like, just this weird, it's just all over the place. The whole, like, I can't stay away from you crap. If I could write down how many times that was written in this book.
Oh my God.
You would, I don't understand. But like, here's my thing with Tracy Wolf, because I'm just gonna throw her under the bus here a little bit. She has she has written numerous like paranormal vampire dragon like romance novels before, right? I mean, she's got her whole like Ethan Frost series, the Shaken Dirty like series, but they're all like these like paranormal romance novels, right? So it's like, okay, come on, if you know how, or I haven't read anything written by her except this book. So if she's already written books on vampires before, what's to say that she mimicked other authors as well in these books? And how many similarities she's putting in there? I don't know.
I don't know what possessed her to do a fan fiction of Twilight. I don't know.
I don't get it. I don't know either. Like, I feel like maybe it's because her last like publication of a book was back in 2017. So maybe, like, I'm telling you guys, I've been like stalking her page here. To see, because I'm like, are you like just out of ideas? Like, to me, it's like the very similar thing where like Hollywood kind of starts to like come out with movies that have already, you know, happened before. There's just a remake. And I'm like, are you just trying to remake something that was good?
I guess.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I have tons that I didn't like. So the next thing I didn't like is the pacing was atrocious. Like, from the second chapter, you shouldn't be here. You're going to get hurt here. But at no time does she ask why. And at no time does anybody tell her why. And it's like obvious evasiveness so that it could keep the story going. Because if she had have asked why at the beginning of the book, then the book would have, it would have made a turn. It would have been a totally different book. So because Tracy Wolf needed this book to be a romance and heavy breathing and, oh my God, he's so hot. Like, he had to keep up his mysteriousness about him and why he's trying to love her but not love her because she's dangerous. He's dangerous. This crap. But it kept, he doesn't reveal the, well, first of all, she doesn't even know he's a vampire until page 300. It's 500 pages.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't even know why everybody keeps telling her not to, until like another several pages later. So she doesn't even know why she needs to not be there or why it's dangerous for her or what, until like 400, page 400 or something. And then what's funny is that when he finally tells her, he gets mad at her because she didn't leave when he told her the first time. Why would she do that? She don't know you. She just gonna up and leave because you told her she couldn't be here and you don't bother to tell her why. It's like, okay, the pacing drove me nuts.
Yeah,
it's just intentionally bad writing.
Mm-hmm. And I that was something that I had as well. It's just like the pacing and the style of this book could have been so much better. I mean, the whole idea of this being like the academy, or like academy, right? Like, she's moving to a different school. She had something tragic happen in her own personal life that she has to literally leave everything behind. Okay, very similar to Bella, but it's a different type of story. So let's keep going, right? But that's where it ends. Like, her whole process of her getting to Alaska, I was like, all right, here we go. Let's see how this goes. And it's just, it's like slammed into your face when you get there. The twilight is the word. You know, I mean, there's just the first part where she meets Jackson, you're like, are you joking right now? Are you joking? Did we just go there? Okay. And Grace is like, she's stupid. She's stupid for not asking these questions. And then her, you know, uncle is the head of this huge academy, and it's like, where is he? He has not welcomed his niece into this threshold. She just somehow just gets taken in by all these random people. I don't understand. Why is he not explaining to her things? Wait, that part made me really mad. I'm trying not to give a lot away because there are a lot of things that I don't like about this book, but I really do not want to spoil as to why. So we'll say that for the spoiler edition.
Okay.
I wish there was more of some other characters, if I have to say that. Like, it's just like very similar to like the Bone Cryersman that we just read. There were things that were just left unexplained. They were just dropped there and then just kind of left. Very big plot holes. Or like, this is unnecessary information.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have anything that you liked on this book, or do you just have like a huge list of like negatives?
The one thing I liked, I can't say because it's a spoiler. I liked one minor, not minor thing. It wasn't minor, but the fact that she didn't develop it well made it minor. She made it minor in her own story.
Yeah. I would have to agree. There are a couple things that I liked, but I really don't want to give it away with that. you want to jump into spoiler edition? Because you can't.
Well, okay. So Ashley and I were going to kind of talk about why Twilight is a much better book. Even though a lot of people didn't like Twilight, I liked it when I first read it. I still stand by that rating. I think I gave it a 4. I may have given it a 5. I don't know. But anyway, I won't stand by a 5. I'll give it a 4. But we were going to, should we talk about why Twilight is a much better book? I feel like that's not too spoiler, or should we?
No, I don't think it's a huge spoiler. I think, I mean, for me personally, like Twilight was something that just came out of nowhere, right? I mean, there wasn't this hint dropping of other books in there. I mean, Tracy Wolf even puts like television shows that are currently out on Netflix into this book. Like there were way too many things dropped in to help make a story that were unoriginal. Twilight had more originality with the two different types of monsters that there are, and that this thing's been going on for so long. Things were explained. This war between vampires and werewolves, right? Like it even gets down to like that, like way in the beginning, and the Volturi, and like how big this story gets, right? I don't see Crave being this humongous story at all.
No. I think she's going to try. I think she set it up to try, but it's not going to work, I don't think. A, because she's not a good writer, and B, because her setup is something I've read before. Whereas Twilight, I hadn't read that before. Even the whole backstory of, you know, all of the Cullens, and they had their own little backstory, which I thought was really well done. Like Edward died in the Spanish flu, and old girl tried to commit suicide. She lost her baby. Like everybody had their own little backstory. Yeah. And so there's a lot to work with that. I don't think, and Carlisle is really, really, really old. Like he has his own major backstory, and that really kind of helped broaden Stephanie Meyer's world. But I don't see this happening with this Crave book.
No, and unfortunately, I kind of just felt like it was kind of like, so on Disney, they did this whole new movie episode called The Descendants, where like they are the children of the villains and the good guys. This is what I felt like I was reading. Because I've already heard this story before, and now their children are reliving it over again.
Oh.
So that's how I felt with some things. But at the same time, it's like you really, I feel like I was just wanting to read a book that was fluffy, right? Because when you read a vampire novel, you know, like, ooh, a homegirl is going to fall in love with this guy. He's going to say he can't be with her. And this is why. And I was like I get it. Like there, I knew some of what I was going to get into. Like, so my expectations were not super high. But I was just like, I felt like she just didn't even try. And with Twilight, like you said, like each of those characters have such a depth to them. These characters do not have depth. Where yeah. I wish she would have given them depth or a reason to have depth, except for like, you know, there's a couple things that happen towards the end of this book that you're like, all right, so is she trying to do a deeper? Like you just said, like, I feel like she is trying to make this huge thing, but I don't know if it's going to be successful because of the fact that she's failed us before in what we just read.
Mm-hmm.
So
one thing that, because I was kind of doing some, I read Twilight such a long time ago. And so I kind of had to like do some more research and try to see the differences. And I actually downloaded the audiobook just to kind of hear Ella's voice and everything in the beginning of the book. And so as I was doing it, I was kind of recalling Twilight. And so I think, well, one major difference is that Stephanie Meyer, like you said, actually made an effort. This woman didn't. Like, Twilight starts off with the Bible verse about eating from the tree of good and evil. And that totally sets up like who's the forbidden fruit here in the story? Is it Bella? Mm-hmm. Is it Edward? That's called a discussion. There's no discussing in Crave. There's nothing to discuss here. Twilight has like lots of themes of like sex and abstinence and found family and choices. In the beginning, she's talking about, you know, would I choose, in the beginning, it starts at the end where she's about to die, Bella's about to die, and she's like, I would make this choice all over again. I would sacrifice my life for my loved ones all over again. So it's about choices and sacrifice, and there's a lot of prejudice in there with, you know, the wolves are brown and the vampires are white. And, you know, there's immortality because Bella doesn't want to die. She wants to live forever. She talks about that a lot. Like, there's a lot going on in Twilight, even like even down to the cars that everybody drives. Like, Edward drives a Volvo, which, you know, is really safe, and Jacob drives a motorbike, which is exciting, and, you know, he's a, you know,
for the thrill of the ride, yeah, you know, like, yeah, all of these things.
Yeah, she thought about a lot in her book, where, like you said,
yeah,
Tracy Wolf was just, eh, she's just writing some stuff.
She, in my opinion, she's just cliff noting whatever she deemed a good enough idea together on a board.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's something that I was really disappointed about, because, like, Stephanie Meyer, like, her whole series of Twilight, and then going into, I think she was in the last series called The Host or whatever, but, like, she spent so much time developing her world, developing this backstory, developing these characters, and, like, down to the nitty-gritty, and that, to me, is what makes a novel good, is when the author actually takes the time to do their research, right? Agreed. Do your research as to why this is important. Make sure that there is a point A, there's the, you know, the highlight of that person's character, you know, to point B, finish it off. Don't just start something, because then your readers are left with not understanding the flow of your book. Like, here's my issue, and why a book right now for, you know, reading vampires, right? If a student were to come up and start reading this book, they would not understand the depth of Twilight, right? If they're going to read this before Twilight or after Twilight, I have no idea. But it's like, I feel like they're going to miss out on a really good vampire novel, because I feel like she was trying too much to relate her book to what is happening right now and what has happened. I mean, she even mentions J.K.R. Rowling in her book, says it incorrectly as well, but there's just, like, seriously, that's, come on. I mean, and I know a lot of books reference Harry Potter, like, I get it, like, because that was a part of our generation, and a lot of these authors that are coming and writing novels now, like, they grew up with that, like, I get it, that makes sense to me, but do it well. Don't just throw it in there because it's an easy point out in describing something to me.
Let me interrupt you really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So I listened to the audiobook of this, mm-hmm, and the narrator says J.K. Rowling. I fucking died. I was like,
no.
I was like, her name's Rowling? Everybody should know that. I couldn't believe she said her name wrong. Sorry, had to say that.
No. Oh my gosh.
I had to rewind it to make sure I heard it correctly, because I was listening to it like three times the speed, because, mm-hmm, there's no challenge. There's no thinking in this book. So I was like, yeah, just let me do it three times the speed. And she said J.K. Rowling. It's like, oh, okay.
And then you're just like, what? Okay. And that's another thing too. Like, I read this book so quickly because, like, yes, it is a definite fluff read. If you are struggling right now and you want an easy read, here you go. But that is where it ends. There is no discussion to this book in any sort of depth other than, like, really? Really? I mean, and you can call all the things that happen in this book. You can call that so-and-so was involved in this, so-and-so's involved in that. Oop, well, you know, that person's got something going on, and oop, there, you know what? Is this person going to be special? Probably. Here we go. Like, this whole, you know, she's the only human going to the school, right? Okay. Then you obviously know what's going to happen, right? You have a pretty good idea. And I feel like Jackson, Vega, the whole smoldery vampire, he, yet again, he couldn't stay away from her. His whole backstory is, like, it's interesting, but it's not as in-depth as Edward's, if you're going to compare both of those vampires together. Mm-hmm. Vampire, like, Edward has his own personal issues as to why, like, he stays away from Bella, correct? Like, it's a whole thing, because vampires and humans, it doesn't work like that, like, or you die. Like, there's no, yeah, it's just, there's not an a thing of a happily ever after that is going to happen. And I feel like the whole, the lust between both of them, there was just this like hot and heavy lustfulness towards each other right away. And I was like, okay. Because I was thinking of Twilight and with Edward and Bella, and then like they're trying to, you know, stay pure for each other. They're trying to do their best to not give themselves over to that. Like, there's all of these things going on, just good moral discussions.
Yeah,
it's not happening.
Yeah, and one other thing about like the whole Bella and Edward versus Grace and Jackson is like Grace is a Mary Sue. There's nothing special about her besides that she's human, but there's nothing else. She's not particularly witty. She's not particularly intelligent. She's not like got anything interesting to talk about. All she does is talk about puns and movies. Like, there's nothing special about her as to why he would be just so passionately like attracted to this girl. Whereas with Edward and Bella, Edward was attracted to her because he couldn't hear her thoughts. He could hear everybody else but her, and that made her special.
Interesting. Yeah. It made her stand out. It made her like, oh, I can finally have a conversation with someone not wanting to, you know, plug my ears because I can hear everything that's happening in their brain.
Exactly.
That's something. Well, I mean, Grace does have this inability to not recognize that she's being hurt in the book. So, like, that was something that you're like, okay, so obviously she has some sort of, like, adrenaline junkie-like rush. And kind of, like, the similarities between people who put themselves in harm's way because they literally live for the adrenaline rush, right? They live for that. It's like a chemical experience that happens in their brain that they crave that, right? So it's like, I get like that sort of similarity as to like where Tracy got this crave part title from.
I don't even know the significance of the title. I don't, is that what it is?
I think so. It's this like, well, yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be like a lust, on, in my opinion, because he, yeah, there, I can't say that because that'll definitely be a spoiler. But
well, let's just get into spoilers then.
Yeah. I'm just trying to like hold my tongue.
All right, guys, we are going to get into the spoiler edition of Crave by Tracy Wolf. If you are listening live and you do not want to be spoiled, thanks for listening. Otherwise, thanks for listening to continue to listen. We are going to start the spoiler edition in 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Where should we start?
I don't even know. I guess we can start with him. So the only one like I had was that he was born a vampire. I'm like, okay, well, that's different. That's it. That's the only thing that I like. But she didn't really do anything with it because his backstory is, like you said, from the Descendants. I've read that story before. There's nothing nuanced there at all. So,
well, yeah, I think that was super interesting because, like, vampires aren't supposed to be born, right? Like, they're supposed to be created, and there's always one that was there beforehand, like that whole idea. So I was like, oh, that's original. I like that. All right. But that's kind of just where it stops. And like my first thing was like Grace's weird powers, right? So like I was just talking about her inability to recognize when she is like literally beaten and battered. Like her body does not recognize pain the same way that your body does and my body does. And I'm just, and like everyone's telling her like, oh girl, you're bleeding. Ooh, you should probably get that checked out. She's like, I feel fine. Like there's just that weird, I don't even know how to say it. She just doesn't have that pain connection, so she can't even feel what when her whole body is hurting. And that was cool. Yet again, she did not do a good job as to explaining that. Like, Grace points out these gargoyles when she's entering into the school, and that's the first time you ever hear about a gargoyle. Goyle in this book, right?
Yeah.
And then when it pops up at the end that she freaking turns into one, You're like, what? I thought there was only four types of monsters here. You have vampires, you got witches, you got dragons, and you've got these wolf walkers, right? They're werewolf walkers. Yeah, so there's like, there's only like four monsters, correct? Like literally, they're all in different types of gangs, like, or clusters of people and inside the school. There are no gargoyles. Why in the world is she the only one that's the gargoyle? What does that even mean?
She's the chosen one.
What is that? That's what I'm saying. What does that even mean? Like, when it's when at the end when she steps in front of him and you're like, what? What do you mean she's choosing not to come back? Well, how could she just choose not to come? Like, because gargoyles had the choice. That's what I was trying to think back to, like, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, like that whole story with the gargoyles, you know, when they like come back to life and then they turn into stone.
Yeah.
But it's like, I just, that was all I could decipher was that they were able to turn back. But.
Well, I caught that she was a gargoyle right at the very end when Macy, Lacey, Tracy, whatever, she was sewing her dress and she was like, you're so still. You stand so still. I was like, oh, hell no. She a damn gargoyle. It was like maybe five chapters before the big reveal. Okay. So it wasn't like, but I'm looking up what a gargoyle is, and all they do is keep rainwater from going down the gutter. Like, they don't have nothing special about. That's all a gargoyle does. Big woo.
Big
they
woo.
Protect the building from rainwater. Okay.
Oh my gosh. and that's what was unpredictable, right? Like, it was super predictable, the fact that she was going to have powers. She's literally moving into a school where her uncle is a witch. His daughter is a witch, which means that homegirl is going to be a witch of some sorts, right? So she's going to have some sort of human powers. And the fact that, like, her dad marries someone who's not of magical blood, like, okay, obviously it's going to be diluted, but that doesn't mean that she's not going to have magical powers. I mean, have you studied biology and how cells separate and everything like that? Hello.
Yeah, I wasn't buying that human thing. I was like, yeah, okay. What is she going to be? Is she going to be a witch? Whatever. Is she going to be like Sabrina the Teenage Witch? What's it going to be here?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, see, and I really enjoyed Macy because I feel like Macy was the perfect character in that book to be like, oh, I'm going to take care of you. But yet everything was like back to normal. Like, you caught on that Macy had magical powers super early in the book, but she wasn't telling Grace anything. And then all of a sudden she just blurts it all out and is like, yep, this is what's going on. This has been going on forever. And oh, you need to stay away from Jackson Vega. Why? Everyone's telling you to stay away from him. Oh, guess what? That's what they told Bella in Twilight. Stay away from the Collins. They're mysterious. They always leave when it's nice outside. Blah blah blah. Like,
But Bella figures it out earlier in the book.
Oh no, absolutely. Yes. So she's not as dumb.
And then she chooses to stay with him even though he's like, stay away from me. This girl doesn't get told until the book is almost over.
Yeah. And I knew who was gonna be the villain. I called it. She's trying to bring his brother back because she loved him and the wrong brother died and all this other stuff. Like, I feel like Tracy Wolf had like a list of like good points that she wanted to talk about in her book, and then she just put them on the page and then hoped that everyone else's ideas would help solve her story. That's how I felt.
Or she was hoping that no one has ever read a book before and wouldn't see it coming.
But I don't understand, because she's supposed to be this, but like this isn't her debut novel, okay? It's not like this is her first time writing a book. But maybe she just doesn't know how to write good books.
Just because you're a published author doesn't mean your books are good.
Yeah, it's really like a, what would you call it? Like a B-class author?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. I had a problem with the whole character. Like, okay, so this book hinges on you being sexually attracted to Jackson. It all hinges on the sexiness of Jackson, which he is not. He, mm-hmm. I didn't feel any, she never develops him enough to make him sexy. We only hear about him through Grace's eyes, and all it is, oh, he's so hot. Oh my God, your face is fantastic. Oh, your scar is sexy. Oh, your body's hot. Like, okay, then what else is there to this guy? And he's supposed to be brooding and just like mysterious, but he texts her using winky faces? That is not sexy.
And the fact that he like just opens up to her right away, like, are you joking? Are you joking? And he's like, there the moment that she needs help every single time, and it's like, oh, well, you're his mate. Well, duh. Have you read a fairy novel before? Your mates. All right, there's that. I've heard that before. I just...
Yeah,
I have lots of things to say. I am not impressed. I think I might even try to take down my rating right now.
Oh, I was shocked because when I saw your rating on Goodreads, it was a 3. I was like, oh, whoa.
Because it was 2.5, and yeah. I think I'm going to have to drop it because it's like the more and more I think about it, I'm like, why did I like this book this much? Oh, it's probably because it was an easy, stupid read, so I just gave it something easy.
Yeah. The one thing I noted, I was like, this book has some great prosy gems, such as No Shit, Sherlock. I think I was saying that when I was like 10 years old, and I'm 40. Like, that is that old. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. So it was that bullshit. And then what was another thing that killed me? I have another thing in here and I'm like, oh my God. Oh, okay. So like I was saying in the non-spoiler edition, how Tracy like wink wink hint hint. I know that I'm writing tropes, guys, but I'm gonna do it anyway. And because I warned you, it's okay that I do it. Yeah. So old girl is a damsel through this entire book. Everybody saving this girl, and then
everyone is, and psych,
she's not a damsel because in the end she saves his. What does she say at the end? She's like, I always thought that he was supposed to save me, but I was really put on earth to save him. And then she turns into a gargoyle when his brother shows up. I'm like, okay, so this whole time
they kept telling her it's gonna come out when it's important, when you need it the most. You're gonna find what you were supposed to do, your true purpose. And I'm just like, it's like I feel like they were just shoving crap down my throat, and I just had to like swallow it as I'm reading it. Like it can't. And I think that that's why I had given it a higher rating at first, is because some of those sayings that she had in here, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of laughing right now. Like that's the line with Twilight. He sent me a copy of Twilight. What? Oh, there's no such thing as monsters. Just people who do monstrous things. This is terrible. Well, what kind of witch are you if you can't do something an 11-year-old kid can do?
By J.K. Rowling.
Rowling. The kind that doesn't come from J.K. Rowling. Brilliant imagination. You suck. You have no idea how much. I mean, just...
Did you write these down?
And some of these are in other people's reviews as well. I'm going to shout out to Mally Moore from The Romantic Blogger. Like, she wrote a couple of these down, and I'm like, that one line where Grace is, like, texting Jackson, which, mind you, they have texting conversations all the time. And she's like, oh, you suck. And he's like, you have no idea. I mean, come on. Are you that dumb? Are you that dumb? And this is after he sends her the Book of Twilight, mind you. Can you be any... stupider.
Oh, any can stupider. You be any more stupider? Come on. You didn't do it like Chandler. It's your favorite show.
I know. Could you?
I didn't start writing some of these lyrical gems until the end, so aww. I didn't get some good ones. But one I got was, Macy ate that last cherry Pop Tart because she's mean like that. Why do I need to know about her eating a Pop Tart? She's not mean. I don't know why that needed to be in there. There was no point to having that line in there at all.
Wait. And here's another one. You wear indifference like a mask. You wield coldness like a weapon, not because you feel nothing, but because you feel too much.
Ooh, deep. Ugh.
Ugh. Be with me. Love me. Let me love you. I just can't.
Yeah, I miss them. I had, I don't know, I think they're like getting hot and heavy, and he's just like, mm-hmm. The way her ridiculously hot body curves into mine. Uh-huh. She has big tits. Like, that's it. She's 5'2" with big tits. That's her ridiculously hot body.
Mm-hmm. That's why everyone can't stay away, because of her boobs.
Yeah. My boobs are so big they don't fit in Macy's dress. Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. They comment on it numerous times how big her chest is. I mean, and they're stuck in like a castle too, right? This academy is like a ginormous castle, and Jackson lives at the way top all alone, all by himself, like all of these things.
Yeah, there was one other nitpick I had, which I, once again, this is, you kind of talked about how she would drop these little things in there and they would, the story would be dropped. Like, it didn't go anywhere and I wasn't sure. So the Twilight, giving her the Twilight book, I guess it was just kind of a, once again, wink, wink, hint, hint, I'm a vampire. I'm going to give you this vampire book. But at the beginning of the story, she, which I thought was, okay, so Flint is a dragon. Okay, mm-hmm. He's a dragon. His name is Flint. Gag me. So Macy is her cousin, and she's kind of like giving Flint kind of like doe eyes or whatever. And she's like, oh my God, do you like him? She's like, no, I had a crush on him, whatever, woo, whatever. I have a boyfriend named Cam. Okay. So then they go to this party, and Macy, like, she's like, oh girl, Grace has been at the school for all of 3 days. She ditches her at her party to go sit on her boyfriend's lap. So then Grace goes over to Cam, and this is the only time we see Cam, the only time we see him, the only time he says anything. Macy is sitting on Cam's lap, and Cam like looks at Grace like he wants to bang her.
Yeah.
But never mentioned again. Cam never shows up again. She barely says his name again. What the hell was that? I was waiting for like, the only thing that would have saved this book was sex. That was the only thing. But because it's a teen book, you can't really do that. So I'm like, ooh, is there gonna be some like three-way here? What's happening here? No, Cam just never shows up again. It's like, oh, okay. Well, that was a missed opportunity.
Well, and it's like, I mean, Cam is like just one of those like in the background characters that you would see him in the movie, but he would not be speaking.
But why? You but know? Why would she introduce Cam if she's not going to do anything with him?
This is what I'm saying.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, there is an introduction to characters that she just puts them in there just because, and there's no reason why. Like, there's no further explanation to it. If you're going to put a character on the page, you need to make sure that they somehow have a happily ever after exit, if you know what I mean. They've made their purpose. Don't talk about them at all.
Or
their boyfriend is just someone we don't see. Yeah, but he wasn't contributing to anything other than ogling over her.
over her huge tits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, uh-huh. And it's like, I just keep looking at like some other people's reviews on here, and I feel like you want to just tell them like, did you actually read this, or are you just super excited about the cover? Because
yeah, you got to take Goodreads reviews with a grain of salt. Like, some people just give it fives just to do that. Like, they might be friends of the publisher or the author or whatever. And so when I look at Goodreads reviews and I see that they just say, oh my God, this book was amazing, I love the characters, Grace was amazing, but they don't really say anything specific, I know it's a fake review. So some people do like fluffy stuff. Like, some people like this stuff. I kind of equate this to those god-awful Hallmark movies. Oh my God, no, I would never watch that. But I have friends who love them just because of life, and you don't have to think too hard, and it's the happily ever after, and you've seen the story a million times, and it's comfortable, you know? So
yeah,
some people
and that's the thing. It is like, I feel like with what's going on right now, like in our world, like if you want something nice, easy and fluffy to read, there you go. But I wouldn't even say that it's like fluffy. Like it's just an easy, dumb read. Now, if you want something that's fluffy with a little bit more intensity, then you need to up your reading game. But if you want something that's really well written, then read Twilight if you're going to read another vampire series. At least do that.
Yeah.
Don't read this.
Even Vampire Academy was better than this.
Okay, Vampire Academy had way more sex than this does. Okay?
I only read the first book. So.
Oh, I have read Rachel Mead's whole series on the Bloodline series. Okay? That was way better than what I just put into my mouth.
Yeah. Even that first book was just like way better than this.
Oh, yes. Totally. 100%. I think, yeah, I was really disappointed. My last point is that I was really disappointed in Grace's uncle, because I feel like he could have been, you know, this awesome headmaster of this school who's a witch and blah, 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 you know, like it'll be great, right? And he just kind of just lets Grace manipulate him into doing whatever she wants because her parents are dead. Okay. So it's her uncle, you know, is her dad's, it's her dad's brother who just died. So it's like, okay, like add to this, like be more sad about it with her or set more stricter guidelines. I feel like that just didn't happen. He just let her do whatever and was okay with Jackson being around her.
Well, here's why this writing is bad, because she doesn't connect the death of her parents as part of her character growth or anything like that. It's a means to an end. It's the big shocking twist. Oh, Leah killed her parents to get her there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's just a tool. It doesn't really contribute anything to the story or her as a character or anything. And that's the difference between bad writing and really good writing. Like if we're going to go back to Twilight, like Bella, her mother kind of like, she didn't ditch her for her new boyfriend, but you know, she got wrapped up in her new boyfriend. And so Bella was like, okay, I'm going to live with my father who I only get to see a couple months out of the year. So Bella is kind of an orphan in her own way, which all of the Cullens are also orphans. So she kind of finds a family with them. So Stephanie Meyer kind of weaved in Bella's parental circumstance into the story. And it wasn't just a means to an end. There's a difference there. And it shows in the writing and how she just, like you said, she just made a list. And she's like, okay, now I need to check off that Leah had to kill her parents to get her there, to bring her back, to bring Hudson back. Check, I did it. I did it. I didn't have to do anything special with that. I did it.
Yeah, it was just, unfortunately, it was not well done. This is not the next vampire romance novel to be reading.
Aww.
Hopefully someone will write something good to redeem all those people who need vampire love in their life. This is not it.
No, it's not.
I was a little disappointed because I was like super excited to get into something else. You know, like maybe this is the next new trend. Nope. But you know what? It's going to sell copies because of the book cover. She is going to sell copies because of the book cover, because people are going to be like, oh, another Twilight.
It's not going to be a lot of copies because the publisher is Entangled Teen. That's not a big publisher. So if it was like Epic Reads or Fierce Reads, sure, I would say yeah. But I doubt it.
Oh, man. We'll see.
All right, that's all I have.
I'm not holding my breath. Yeah, that's all I have to.
All right, what's our? I'm reading Fable right now. I'm on chapter 4, and I put it in my my Goodreads update, is that I've only read one other book by Adrienne Young, and she kind of has an MO, man. So, I mean, I like it so far. I don't like sailing, so I'm kind of just like, bleh. But oh, it's wow. written well. Oh, no.
I mean,
I can get past it.
Yeah, no, so, okay, the difference between what you are reading now and what we just discussed is this person actually knows how to write a book.
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt. I have no
Adrienne
doubt.
Young, like, she did not disappoint me. I mean, her Sky in the Deep series, I did not finish the second book of that series, but this is definitely going to be, I think, hopefully one of the better reviews that we do on Fable.
I'm not holding my breath out for a 5 or anything. Like I said, I like Sky in the Deep. I like her writing. She writes romance well, and it's going to be setting up for as a romance. So where I ended up was pretty good. The last chapter I read was pretty good. So yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully I could give it a 4. I'm excited about this one. How far are you into The Chosen Ones or Chosen Ones?
I'm page 200 and slowly crawling.
Yeah. So one of those two books will be next. I will probably finish Fable by Sunday. What are you reading after Chosen Ones?
After Chosen Ones, what did we...
I don't know.
I think that it'd still be to decide it because we had originally talked about doing this Ray Bear by Jordan Esfuco.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be to be determined.
Okay.
TBD, you guys. But definitely one of the next two, either Fable or The Chosen Ones, which we will see if Roth can redeem herself, but. Not holding my breath.
Okay. You don't know what I gave it.
I know.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us for this review. Hopefully, I don't know which book. It'll either be Fable by Adrienne Young or Chosen Ones by Veronica Roth will be our next week review. But thank you for joining us, and we will catch you in the next podcast.
See you next time.